minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things green and gold. And as we inch closer toward the end of April, it is draft month, and we have a new guy joining us for this draft month. Matt Fralick's with us. Matt, welcome to our Motley Sunday crew, and glad to have you with us for NFL draft coverage.
You know, it's good to chop it up with you guys throughout the year, you know, on Twitter and Pack-A-Day and wherever else we cross paths, but it's real nice to sit down and break some draft stuff. You know, I like Janelle and Dan, but I sometimes need a break from them, and I'm thankful I wasn't paired with, you know, Jacob Westendorf for Steve or someone, you know, that I just can't stand. So awesome to be with you guys, and I'm excited to talk these receivers.
Without a doubt, and as you brought it up, we do have a trio of receivers to break down for you guys, and when we know it's not likely they're going to break their trend and draft their first receiver since Javon Walker, there's still a chance that that could happen, maybe even rounds one or two. And we have a trio of guys of different skill sets to break down today. And Gage, I know you've been kind of keeping track on these guys, and there's some interesting prospects to talk about.
Yeah, there are. This wide receiver class is one that there's a couple of names at the top that everybody knows. You got your Jamar Chase, your Jaylen Wall, Devonta Smith, and then, but the sweet spot of this draft is like late round one or and then day two. There's a lot of guys in rounds two and three that are just extremely talented players, and then there's guys that are going to fall to day three, and they shouldn't fall to day three. It's just how deep this class is at wide receiver. You may not have the pure star talent that we had last year, but there are a ton of talented guys in this group.
Without a doubt, completely, and there are a lot of names to break down, and of course, stay tuned. All month, we'll be breaking down different prospects, going through the positions. I know we'll be taking on some linebackers next week, and eventually we'll get to breaking down the whole running back class later this month as well. So stay tuned all across the Pack-A-Day Podcast. A month, we'll be having different prospects, different positions, breaking down throughout this entire draft season. But that being said, let's jump right into this receiver, and we'll start with a receiver that's starting to really rise up boards. And Gage, you talked about you've been seeing some of the guys who are more plugged into the draft coverage really breaking this guy down and having him rise up boards, and that's Elijah Moore out of Ole Miss. About 5'9", 184, more of a true slot guy. He's been productive. And just kind of, what have you seen from Elijah Moore? And break him down for us.
So I actually just got done doing Elijah Moore's draft profile a couple weeks ago for the Cheesehead TV draft guide. And the one thing I noticed about Elijah Moore is that dude was the entire offense for Ole Miss this past season. He had 86 receptions in 8 games. And people are like, okay, so about a little over 10 receptions per game. But then you go and look and he had like one game where he had 11 catches. He had, I think, 3 games of 14 or more receptions. It was wild. They were just like, yep, Elijah Moore is our entire offense. We have to go give him the ball. And he's a fun prospect. Everyone sees 5'9", and they assume, like, jitterbug, gadget-type guy. And that's not the type of player that he is. He can do that stuff for you, but he is a true slot. I wrote in my draft guide that, for those of you that are still looking for the Randall Cobb replacement, this is your guy. He is going to line up. He can run all routes. He can run the full route tree. He can't really play outside, which is fine in Green Bay because you have Devontae, MBS, and Alan Lazard on the outside. So let me check really quick. So it's in 8 games, he had 7 of them where he caught 10 or more passes. He was the entire passing game for Ole Miss last year. I'm a big fan of Elijah Moore. I like what he brings. I also understand that in Green Bay, there is a size requirement in order for him to get on the roster, and he doesn't quite meet that. Now, he could get to the point where Green Bay hasn't ranked so highly, and they end up taking him anyway, but as we all know, you have to test extremely well athletically for Green Bay to ignore the measurables standpoint. So I don't really know if he's going to end up in Green Bay, but I do like the player, and I think that he can have a successful NFL career as a traditional slot player.
Thus far, like, Gage broke it down great. Like, you look at his stats, it's incredible. You talked about those double-digit reception games. Gage, he also had 200 yards in 3 games as well, plus. Like, that's insane. I love the comparison of Randall Cobb, too. That's that pulls in some heartstrings for Packer fans, and I'm sure us three as well. But really, what I like with Moore is that he's not just a jitter. He can play in the slot. He can line up in different spots, possibly supplement the Tavon Austin, Tyler Irvin role in Matt LaFleur's offense. And I think the trend, as we'll see when we get, you know, deeper into this draft and, you know, throughout all the days of the 2021 draft, and as we get further into Gutekunst's draft classes, like you get a general vibe of what Goody's trying to do, right? He wants guys that are versatile, whether that's offensive linemen, secondary dudes, front seven guys. I think that's super important. I see that with Elijah Moore quite a bit. You talked about the athletic rating. You know, that's the one aspect that you can make the argument that the Packers would draft him based off of. He's at an 8.67, which falls into that range of where the Packers would draft. Unfortunately, size, as you mentioned, Gage, he's not 6'3". He's not 215, 220 pounds and runs a 4.4. Like, this guy is not the same style of receiver that Matt LaFleur and Gutekunst have brought in. And we've had a pretty good, I guess, you know, inventory of players that have been drafted or signed that he's kind of the outlier. But again, Tyler Irvin, Tavon Austin are also outliers as well. So I could see Elijah Moore coming in the space. I mean, clearly production is no issue with him. It's just a matter of how you'd implement him in the Matt LaFleur, Nathaniel Hackett offense and how he could be effective.
Yeah, and you talk about the versatility, and it goes with the 4.32 pro day speed is always something to keep an eye on. And Daniel Jeremiah, I'm reading an article right now that he shot him up the ranking. He moved up 12 spots after his pro day. He's now number 38 on Jeremiah's board, saying he can make plays. He started doing more work. He knows his route running. He's now a top of the second round prospect there. Odell Beckham Jr. has really started endorsing him, talking about him, telling people that they're sleeping on him, that out of the SEC he's going to be a playmaker. And everyone keeps on bringing up the penalty he had against Mississippi State a couple years ago. That's a kid being a kid. I don't understand why that ever gets brought up in a draft profile. But yeah, Moore is just a playmaker, and he's a guy who he's going to be someone who I feel like if they pick him, Matt LaFleur is going to fall in love with him immediately, and training camp will be so much fun to watch how they would use a guy like him.
Mm-hmm. And I'm looking back at that penalty. I'm so glad you mentioned that. That was a freshman doing that type of thing, scoring in the Egg Bowl against Mississippi State, right? 15-yard penalty for, you know, pretending to urinate like a dog in the end zone after he scores a touchdown. I mean, any 18, 19-year-old kid, you get the spotlight on him, he's going to do something like that. Was it all, you know, was it that bad? No, but they're going to put any red mark you can on a draft, you know, on a prospect just to kind of like what – if they're – you're trying to look for bad at sometimes, right? And if you can't find anything on the tape, then you try to find stuff off the field, and this just so happened that he – made a boneheaded move and just kind of was celebrating in a bowl game.
Yeah, and Mike, you say, I don't know why they got to nitpick that. You know exactly why they got to nitpick that. They got to go and find every single bit of information that they can on a prospect, and that includes all the good, that includes all the bad. That's why no one ever wants to draft the guy, and then you get into, like, 2 days after the draft has happened, and you're like, oh, wait, we drafted a guy who did – XYZ thing. So that's why you're going to nitpick that thing. Yes, it happened 2 years ago or 3 years ago or whatever it was, but you have to pull on every single string you can, because obviously he has not had any other issues like that on the field, but you have to pull that just to make sure that was a one-time incident in a rivalry game from a freshman who was probably 18 at the time. You have to see, is this something that we have to worry about you doing again? Because the NFL is going to call flags for this, and we don't feel like getting flagged or having you make other mistakes off the field. We have to figure out, are you able to get through every game without making this mistake again? And I assume that he can. I have no doubts about that. But I get it. They have to go through and make sure that that they're not risking their investment on a guy that, like, might be young and immature and stupid. But at the time, he was 18, so I don't really look too much into that. But yeah, the player, I love the player. I think he's going to have a great career. I don't know if he's going to do it in Green Bay so much, but I think that he can fit somewhere in this league.
And Gage, I'll ask you, LS Matt too, but before we switch to our next prospect, I'm agree with you. I don't think he'll be a round one guy, but do you think if the Packers trade down, he'd be a spot in early round two?
It depends on who else is on the board and how early the wide receiver run starts. I think that the like more I'm not as high on him as a lot of other people are in terms of, especially like looking at it from a Green Bay perspective, because I know how Green Bay really values their like their size requirements. And one of the main reasons why I'm not as high is there are other guys that I would prefer in the slot that are either the same size or bigger than Elijah Moore is. So, I mean, they could look at him in the early second. It just kind of depends on how the run happens. Like, if there's a run of a bunch of wide receivers in the late first, which I don't expect to happen, then, yeah, sure, they might need to draft him that early. But I honestly think if he's there in late second and they didn't take a wide receiver in the first and they're really in on him, then they can go after him. But if he's gone, don't be heartbroken about it.
I would like, I mean, what were your thoughts about that? No, it's great. Like, and Gage started this by saying, like, there's a lot of talent after, even if you get those four or five guys off the board, you know, the Devontae Smiths of the world, you know, the other guys that are clearly are going to be a top 20 pick, I would imagine, in the first round. But really, at the end of the day, like, it's all value-based. And we've seen Goody trade up, trade back before. And if there's a guy that he likes, and if that's Elijah Moore, like, he will go up and trade for him if he thinks there's a run on receivers going too quickly. If he thinks he can wait and pump the brakes, maybe trade back even and get another second-round pick to be able to get Elijah Moore or maybe some of the other receivers we're going to talk about. That might play out, but again, end of the day, it's got to be the right fit, and I think he could fit the offense. I just don't know if he'll be on the board long enough with the way that he's been rising.
And that's always the fun thing about the draft, is we never know how each team's board is going to go. So whether the Packers may view someone like Moore as a late second round pick, there'll be someone that may view him as a round one guy because of his speed or because of what he brings. So it's going to be fun to watch, see how these boards fall, and it's going to be a lot of fun with the versatility in this class to see what happens. So let's move on to our next prospect, and we're going to stay in the SEC, another kind of smaller, really, really athletic receiver, and that's Kadarius Toney out of Florida. And Toney's been kind of volatile on the boards. He's been rising, he's been falling. It's fun. It's going to be interesting to see how much he was a product of the Florida offense, how much having people like Kyle Pitts around him or trash when the ball goes on. But Matt, what have you seen from Toney?
Toney's a fun player, man. He's a guy. He was the first one I started breaking down, and just like you said, volatile, right? Like, he's to me, like, I hate to put a lot of weight on stats coming out of college. Like, it's good, especially like when you had Elijah Moore, like, he increased his stats every year. That's important to me. However, like, that can be completely inflated by a great offense, a subpar or above average quarterback. And you could possibly make the argument that Toney's production was based off if he had a good offense around him. But at the end of the day, I think Toney's personally, like, I put Toney and Elijah Moore in the same bucket, if you will, compared to the other prospect we're going to get into. But I just see him as a versatile piece. Again, very similar. He has more rushing attempts than Elijah Moore did. He's had multiple games where he's had over 100 yards. But I think, you know, you look at the stats comparatively, and like, you're like, oh, Elijah Moore is way more productive in college. But you're like, if you actually watch the tape, like, Toney's kind of a crazy athlete, man. Like, his route running is something that I saw a lot was mentioned in some breakdowns I looked at, where it's like, you don't want to call it clunky. You don't want to call it like he just relies on his like athleticism to get by, but like, he's able to actually have some decent route running in it. I don't want to make a comparison because he's one of the best in the league, obviously, but like the Devontae Adams, there's similar comparisons the way he gets off the line. Obviously, they're a completely different body type, but like the way he uses his feet and his hips to move, and I got to imagine once he gets into the league, whoever he ends up being selected by, that their receivers, the receiver coaches will work on him, and he'll even become a better route runner. But there's times where it's like he got open and just wasn't able to get found by Trask. But I like Toney as a prospect a little bit more than Elijah Moore. What are your thoughts, Gage?
I like Kadarius Toney a little bit more as well. Yeah, 5'11", 185, so he does have a little bit more size to him. And also, you mentioned his speed. Yeah, the guy was one of the top track stars in the state of Florida when he was in high school. So yeah, he's got some juice to him. Kadarius Toney is a guy that when I watched him, I saw a guy that can do both. He could play both inside and outside, and that's a big thing. So I said that earlier that I was a little bit higher on some other guys that play a similar role to Moore, but they're either the same size or bigger. Tony's one of those guys. He is big enough to play the slot, or he's small enough to play the slot, but also big enough he can go outside if you need him to. He's not going to be a full-time outside guy, but you can line him up everywhere. And with a guy like Devontae Adams who can go into the slot as well, that's a good thing to have, a guy that you can put in the slot or you can put outside to allow Devontae to move around the offense, and that really puts defensive backs in a compromising position when they have to worry about guarding guy A here, guy A in this spot as well, and they just got to move all around. Tony can do that. I am a fan of Tony. I think that he is a – I think he's a fun player. I think that there – I'm a little concerned, though, that he's – you guys know the Nick Perry effect where – Nick Perry didn't do hardly anything until his final year of his contract, and that's when he finally put it all together. He stayed healthy, did everything right. And then he didn't do anything after that. Kadarius Toney didn't really do anything for 3 years. I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, he had more receptions and more yards than he had in his first 3 years combined this past season. I don't know if it was just competent quarterback play, competent offense, or what, but he finally got it all put together and went out and had a great year, which is awesome. But, yeah, he's kind of gone up and down. He was a lock to be a first-round pick 2 to 3 months ago, and then now I'm seeing him pretty consistently being mocked outside of the first round. I think that he fits well in Green Bay. I think that he's, Mike, you said earlier, should Green Bay try and trade down for maybe more in the early second? I think if you want to trade down and draft a guy in the early second, Kadarius Toney is the one that I would target if you're looking for that role, because he is a guy that can – he's not Tyler Irvin, but he can play the Tyler Irvin role. He can give you snaps out of the slot, and it allows you to get multiple players on the field. That's the whole point of the Tyler Irvin role, is to have guys that can play positions, like just that can play multiple positions, and you can get as many athletes on the field. If you can line up Aaron Jones, Kadarius Toney, MVS, Alan Lazard, and Devontae Adams, as well as Bob Tonyan, that's going to be a pretty fearsome group for people to have to try and mess with, because Tony and MBS have elite speed. Devontae is wide receiver one. You have Alan Lazard, who can win jump balls. Bob Tonyan, who just set multiple records this last year for like most touched or like highest touchdown percentage and lowest drop percentage and all these other various things. Aaron Jones is obviously weapon one that everyone wants to refer to. So I think the Kadarius Toney fits in well with this offense. I think you can also get him by trading down if you want to in the first round. And I like Toney a lot. I think that there's a couple of things that I'm a little concerned about, like just with the fact that he had next to no production for 3 years, as well as the I don't know if you guys know this, he was pulled over for at one point in the last couple of years, and he had a loaded AR-15 in his back seat. He wasn't arrested for it, wasn't charged with it, wasn't charged with anything, but it is something that is just like the Elijah Moore peeing on the field thing. I think that the Kadarius Toney, that thing is something that's going to be a string that's pulled on pretty hard during this pre-draft process.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And, like, first I'm going to address that. Like, I think peeing on a field and having a loaded gun are completely separate things. Again, they can be in the same box, though. It's, like, a mistake. And that's fine. We've all probably committed those mistakes, maybe not in the same
breath. That's where I was putting it. I was putting it in the mistake box. I wasn't saying, like, those were the same thing. I was just – they were in the red flag, like, the character red flag box.
100%. But like you said, the string will be yanked no matter what it was. It could be a bad Instagram post. It could be one of these other two examples. But the thing I like about Toney, too, Gage, and I think you mentioned this right away, is, like, just his size. Like, he's 5'11", close to 200 pounds. Like, he's a little bit thicker. Then Elijah Moore, I just really like what he can do. And you talk about the stats. I think that's a great thing to mention. But it's important to note, and I looked at this while you're mentioning this, like him and Kyle Trask came in at the same time, right? So it's like Trask was developing and so was Toney. It's not like he came in and had a junior or a senior thrown into him when he was a freshman and a sophomore. They progressed through the same draft or the same recruiting class together. So maybe that's why you saw him, finally have some great stats this last year, but that is somewhat of a concern, right? Like, he didn't do a lot, but like once he was asked to do it, I mean, he was returning kicks, he was returning punts, he's only fumbled the ball twice in his whole career. I think that's important to note, especially a guy that's getting the ball quite a bit in his hands on, three different levels of the field. But Tony's the prospect out of the two, if we had to compare them, that I really, really like. I'm sure I'm going to take Mike's question, would you draft him, would you not? It's kind of the same thing for me. Like, if there's value there and you like him, go ahead. I just feel like this player is a little bit more versatile than Elijah Moore is. The return aspect is huge because the Packers have lacked that. Will this gentleman work for the return game? Will he not? Who knows what'll happen when they get on the field in 2021? He'll be returning, but overall, I like Tony, especially like you mentioned, the elite speed.
Hey everyone, I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or, if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
For sure, and I just want to see them draft him so people can confuse Kadarius and Zadarius to see what would happen. That'd just be a lot of fun. And I guess on a side note, with my spreadsheet that I'm building right now, I'm taking draft rankings from essentially 7 different sources, and I'm averaging them out to kind of see how prospects kind of balance out. I've gone through 3. I've gone through the Draft Network, Pro Football Network, and Draft Tech, which is kind of iffy, but that's what I've been averaging right now. Right now, Kadarius Toney is wide receiver 6. As far as those 3 averaging out, Elijah Moore is wide receiver 10. Tony's highest ranking is from the Draft Network. He's their 23rd prospect right now on their big board. Moore at 67. I just find that kind of fascinating to see where they rank. Our next guy is wide receiver 4 on my average list so far. He's rated number 19 by the Draft Network, which is his highest, and we'll jump right into him, and that is Rashad Bateman out of the University of Minnesota. Last goal for receiver right now was the bane of my existence from the NFC Championship game, but Bateman, probably the better prospect than Tyler Johnson was. Matt, I'll go right to you. What have you seen from Bateman, and what do you think he can be in the NFL?
Well, I'm gonna leave a little meat on the bone for Gage, because I know he likes this guy, but Bateman he falls into the less twitchy, more traditional Brian Gutekunst role of who he'd want. Now, Bateman to me is like, he doesn't have elite speed. That's fine. Straight line running is great. We love to compare and contrast it, especially during a combine or a pro day when guys are in spandex and no pads on. That's fine. But I really think Bateman has football speed, and I hate to use that term, but he really does. Like, if you watch him get out of his breaks, get out of his route tree, like, he's able to, to get to the next level, and we'll see if that translates into the NFL with, the biggest comparison always is when players come in, as they say, the speed is the biggest, difference. Unfortunately, 2020 season was, erratic for everyone across the league, every sport, and Bateman was in, he was out, then he came back, then he opted out. It was like this whole, circus. So you had to go back to 2019 to see his full stats, and really, he had 1,200 yards, 60 receptions, 11 touchdowns. That's when he really became, potentially in a top 5 receiver class. You have him ranked as 4. Like, I like Bateman. I think he can do a lot for the Packers. I think he's going to be – he could be more of a possession receiver, obviously, with his skill set. And I think he's one of the guys that, if you compare all 3 of these dudes, I think, I think it's safe to say, and everyone would agree, that Aaron Rodgers makes receivers fantastic. He's made careers out of lesser talent than all 3 that we've discussed. But I think this particular receiver in Rashad Bateman, you could plug him in this offense and he would be productive day one. Whereas you have Tony or Elijah Moore, I feel like their skill set would need to be worked into the offense more. Just with them, probably in that more traditional, or that role of the Randall Cobb role, the Tyler Irvin, the Tavon Austin. I think Bateman's awesome. I think there's been some really, really fantastic receivers coming out of Minnesota recently, and I think he would carry that tradition on once he would be selected in the NFL.
Well, Matt, I appreciate you leaving some meat on the bone for me.
I tried.
Because I do, like you said, I do like Rashad Bateman. Rashad Bateman is actually my wide receiver 3 in this class. I have him over Devontae Smith. And I know that's going to be kind of hot takey to some people, but do me a favor and go look at the list of receivers that weighed less than 175 pounds and were successful in the NFL. It's not a very long list. Rashad Bateman is, and I said this before we got started, Rashad Bateman to me is Devontae Adams. That's my comp for him. He's currently, like, he measures in at 6'2", 210. Devontae Adams, his combine measurements when he was come through were 6'1", 212. Pretty damn close. Devontae ran a 4.56 in the 40, so everybody knew he was never a burner. I understand that Bateman ran a 4.39 or something dumb at one of his pro days, which I don't believe that at all. I just don't. I think that's all a pro day speed, and I don't really care, because what I see on Tate is Rashad Bateman puts up good numbers. He is a fantastic football player. His route running is great. He has good versatility, but not great. His run after catch ability is outstanding. He's a problem to tackle in the open field. He's a leader less in terms of his loudness. He's just a watch me do it and then that's how we're gonna do it type, lead by example type guy. He can play inside, he can play outside. He's got great hands. His catch radius is huge. He was great in college early on. He broke out before he was 19 years old. He had an 30% target share in college. Rashad Bateman does everything right. And I love the guy so much, and it just sucks that he can't go to Green Bay, because there's no way Green Bay is going to just add him to the Devontae Adams mix, because it would not be fair to everybody else. I don't really love these guys that just kind of do it all at wide receiver a lot. Like last year, I was really down on a guy named Bryan Edwards out of South Carolina. Everybody else in the draft community, specifically fantasy draft community, loved the guy. I just couldn't get to it. I was like, he's fine. He's going to show up and he's going to do the job. Rashad Bateman is a better version of Bryan Edwards, and I love the guy. I would love for Green Bay to pick him in the late first. I am not in the camp of Green Bay needs to add a wide receiver, but I don't think it's a dire need, but Rashad Bateman's a guy that I just watch him play and I'm like, he would be so good in Green Bay. He fits perfectly. You can line him up anywhere. You can just, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little worked up about it, but some people have comped him to Justin Jefferson last year. I don't really see that. I see the Devontae Adams comp, because he's just big physical guy. He's not going to beat you with raw speed. He's a decent blocker. He's not great, but he's not like Hines Ward, but he's going to try to block. He's good in shallow angles and working close to the line of scrimmage. Like you said, Matt, his 2020 was weird. He opted out and then he came back and then opted out. It was a whole thing last year, but I think Rashad Bateman's going to come in and hit the ground running from day one. If he doesn't end up in Green Bay, I'm going to be really sad, because that means I'm going to have to root against him somewhere else, because he's just – the kid's so talented. If you guys have – for those of you out there listening, if you haven't watched Rashad Bateman yet, just go watch him. He's such an enjoyable film watch. Focus more on his 2019 tape, though. He was much better last year than he was this past season, but it was just – he was a really fun kid to watch.
100%. And it's funny that you say the Justin Jefferson comparison, because I saw that too in my research. I saw people on YouTube and just other articles reading. I was like, maybe, okay, I don't see it. Maybe other people do. We'll see what happens when he gets in the league. And then the Bryan Edwards, comparatively, very similar skill set, very similar size. I would say Bateman's probably a little bit more skilled, but there was definitely buzz around Edwards, and he did nothing when he came into the league. But the one thing that's notable too is Bateman does get above that 9 score on the relative athletic score. He's a 9.13. So definitely pulling at Goody's heartstrings. You mentioned the 4.39 alleged 40 time. If that's true, that's fantastic. I just don't see that when I actually watch the real tape. Now again,
that's what I was thinking. I was like, I get it, but it's a pro day speed. It's just like Tylan Wallace when they had said that he ran 4.39. Tylan Wallace did not run 4.39. 4.4, maybe. 4.39, no, he did not.
And the fact that it is a 4.39, you're like, okay, you try to just slip under the 4.4 range just to maybe make yourself a couple hundred thousand dollars more. But it is what it is. Like, his vertical, too, 36, that's awesome. I think Bateman's going to contribute to whatever he comes on to. Like you said, Gage, you said it perfectly. Like, he might get lost, or he might make someone else lost in the receiver room if he were to come for the Packers. I could see someone falling in love with Bateman just because he checks boxes across the board. But realistically, like, you're going to get a talented player who I think you can contribute day one with Bateman.
And I'm with both you guys. You guys are way more in depth on the receivers than I am. I'm still kind of processing my way through this class a little bit, and I have a soft spot of like and dislike for Bateman after seeing what he's done for Minnesota against Wisconsin for a couple years. But the talent is obviously there, and he's going to be picked by somebody. I'm guessing he could sneak into the top 20, even top 25. Mm-hmm. He's rising up boards. He's going to be very good. And as we start to wrap things up on this first April Packaday podcast for the three of us, Matt, if you had to pick one of these three guys, who is it and where would you pick them?
Oh, man, great question. I'm going to leave off Elijah Moore and Gage's little statistic about the weight comparison. Those are great and all, but I do put a lot of value into that. The quarterback hand one, maybe not so much, but the weight of the receiver is just like the NFL is quite a physical league, obviously. I just don't think he makes my list. Bateman, I like his skill set. I think he's a good player. Again, he played with, a decent offense, but really when it comes down to it, I like Kadarius Toney because I think the Packers have enough guys like Bateman. They have a whole roster of receivers that fall into the same thing that Rashad Bateman does. They don't have someone like Kadarius Toney. I just think Toney could bring a lot of an added dimension to that offense. Nathaniel Hackett, Matt LaFleur, I could see them scheming up a couple plays for him. It would just be an extra piece. You don't really have to – you could kind of make Tavon Austin and Tyler Irvin obsolete. He adds another dimension to the backfield potentially, and he can return kicks. I think, for me, Tony's my guy. Where I would draft him, great question. I don't think any of us have said this yet. I am way out of the camp of first-round receiver this year. Like, last year I was kind of on the fence about it because I thought there was some, like, incredible talent. But I just don't see that as a need. So if you can get him at the earliest of, like, 36, if they were to trade back or trade up, maybe in that range. But I feel comfortable between that, like, 40 to 45 spot if they were able to move around to go get Toney or any of these receivers, really. I'm not super sold on any of them needing to be a first-round pick.
So, like you said, Kadarius Toney would be probably I was really in on Rashad Bateman. I still really liked the player, and I said that I would take him in the first round. I would. I don't think Green Bay would, and for that reason, I think I agree with the idea of trading back and getting Kadarius Toney in the second, or like the early second. And the only reason I say like I would be more in on Bateman in the first is just it purely comes down to the fact I think that somebody else will take Bateman 36 because he is the guy that every team is looking for. Every team is always looking for this guy. They're always looking for that alpha wide receiver that can win in a traditional way. Some teams go with like the Tyreek Hill mold and they get a guy that can win in other ways, but more often than not, you are looking for a guy that is going to win in the traditional way of being your traditional X receiver. He's going to line up out wide. He can run the full route tree and be the guy that when your quarterback needs a bailout, that's what you can get. And Bateman can be that guy because he is the traditional X receiver type. And more or less, I think the Green Bay is going to end up going with a guy like Kadarius Toney, and I would prefer to keep him in the early second. So if you trade down, that's where I would go with that. I agree that Green Bay doesn't need a wide receiver in the first, Matt. Like you said, just Bateman I know won't be there in the early to mid-second. That's more what I was getting at when I was saying, like, take him there. If you can get him in the early to mid-second, fantastic. But I don't think he's going to be on the board still at that stage. So yeah, Kadarius Toney in the early to mid-second would probably be where I would lean with.
And that's a fair call. I'm with you guys with that one 100%. And I think that's going to be something to really keep an eye on as the month goes on and as we get closer to draft day. These prospect rankings are going to be fluctuating wildly, especially in a year like we just had, where there was no real combine. We're relying on pro day time and tape and a very truncated 2020 season tape with some of these guys. It's going to be really interesting to see how each team's board varies. It's going to be wildly different. This is going to be a draft unlike anything we've seen in a long time, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And, of course, those are the three prospects we've been able to break down today. Kadarius Toney, Rashad Bateman, Elijah Moore. Stay tuned tomorrow. Andy and Ben are back. They'll be going through the offensive line. They got Jalen Mayfield, Tevin Jenkins, Christian Darrisaw, and Liam Eichenberg. They'll be breaking down those guys tomorrow. And, of course, we'll be back next week. We'll have a trio of linebackers to talk about, which will be a lot of fun. And we'll see whether they go for linebacker for the first time since A.J. Hawk. So we'll see how that goes. But as we wrap things up, Matt, where can people find you, and what are you working on right now?
Yeah, awesome. I appreciate it. That was great recording with you guys. I'm excited to keep going through the linebackers. You can still find me on Twitter at @Matt_Frey_. That's at @MATT_FRA_. Obviously, Pack-A-Day Podcast. Love doing this with you guys. We're creeping up the 1,000th episode, which is incredible. Shout out to everyone that's been a part of that. You can find me also on Game On Wisconsin. I'm helping the squad over there with social content, trying to promote all of our shows. Dan Kotnick, friend of the show, friend of my normal Pack-A-Day Podcast assignment, crushing it with the draft days over there. Those are absolutely a blast. We're finishing up our Tournament of Hate bracket, which is coming down to the wire. We have, I believe it's Ndamukong Suh and Skip Bayless or Colin Cowherd, I forget, but go check out GameOnWisconsin.com and go to the Tournament of Hate section. You'll be able to vote there. Other than that, that's really about it right now, boys. Just gearing up for the draft. But you know, doing these draft profiles is fantastic for me. It makes me want to research more. It makes me dive in more, and I'm fully immersed in it at this point. Gage, what do you got going on, my man?
I'm doing a little bit of everything. I'm still doing my own personal draft coverage, just kind of on my Twitter. That's where you can find all of my content. I'm doing a little bit of work for, like I said, the Cheesehead TV draft guide. I'm doing stuff for Dynasty Nerds and Roto Baller. I got a little bit of work everywhere. I'm still doing Denver Nuggets coverage for Denver Stiffs. So, but it's the easiest thing to say is just if I tweet something out, if I write anything, it'll be on my Twitter. I'll either retweet it or tweet out myself. So that's where it'll be. My DMs are always open if you want to talk draft coverage or anything else in this world, whether it's sports, pop culture, or whatever. But yeah, so my DMs are always open. I'm always available to talk there to answer any and all questions that you guys might have.
And of course, you can find me on Twitter at Mike Wendland, all one word, the last name WENDLANDT. Again, find most of my stuff on Twitter. Also, find me on ZaleskiSports.com as I broadcast high school sports this alternate spring season. It was weird having football back on Thursday, but I did get to watch one of the greatest prospects in the state of Wisconsin, which is a lot of fun, and Braylon Allen, a name we'll probably be talking about in a few years as he progresses through the University of Wisconsin. The guy's an absolute animal. But also find us on Twitter at Pack-A-Day Podcast, wherever podcast platforms are. We will be there. And as Matt said, we're approaching our 1,000th episode. That's such an incredible, incredible feat. And I'm excited to be a part of the first 1,000, hopefully the next 1,000 as well, and so on and so forth, until either the world ends or we are told that we are no longer allowed on the air. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, again, stay tuned for more draft coverage tomorrow from Andy and Ben. We'll be breaking down some of the best offensive line prospects. And, of course, stay tuned for the three of us back here next weekend as we break down some of the best inside linebackers in the 2021 NFL draft class. So for Gage Bridgeford and for Matt Frelick, this is Mike Wellen saying so long, everybody. Everyone, stay warm, stay safe, always carry the G, and go Pack Go.